So I apologize in advance if this is a little all over the place. I had it all written out, and then yesterday God was like, no, 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 that's not what I want you to say. So this is a little bit of word vomit, so bear with me. Start this so I don't get really off track. My childhood conditioned me to be a fiercely independent woman. I was taught that to rely on other people was a weakness, and that if you wanted or needed anything, that you had to do it yourself. That you were the only person that you should ever count on. Now, many of you in this church know bits and pieces of my story. For those of you who don't, I'll start by touching a bit on what brought me to standing here today. I was born to parents who were both heavy alcoholics and drug abusers. I was abandoned by my father when I was 2, and I lived with my mother, moving around every couple months, being in the middle of an insane number of life-threatening situations until she abandoned me when I was 13. My childhood was sink or swim. I was ensuring that myself and my sister were taken care of by age 4. And from age 4, I was the primary caregiver of my younger sister, the house, my mother, and myself. It was this that built the foundation of the way I carried myself through to age 18. That you had better take care of yourself because no one else is going to do it for you. Now, in the middle of chaos, it can be very hard to see God at work when you're a little girl whose mother leaves her for weeks at a time, and you know what hunger pains really feel like. It'd be easy to dismiss God's love for you. That was never really the case for me. I always was aware of God's presence and his watching over me. And I know fully that I am alive here today because of God's grace and God's love for me. Which takes me to one of my favorite stories of God's provision in my life that I know Chad is particularly fond of. When I was 13 years old, I was living in Chilliwack in a row house with my mother and my sister. And my mother left one day, and she never came home. For 3 weeks, I took care of my sister, made sure we both went to school on time, that our homework was done, and that we were both fed and safe. Again, I was 13. We ate nothing but bread scraps from the Salvation Army down the road for 3 weeks, and yet we remained in good health. Provision. We were not harmed by any of the men that came to my house looking for my mother. Provision. I came home from school one day to find a police officer standing in my living room with my sister. And I have to say, honestly, the only emotion I felt was relief. After answering a bunch of his questions, he asked me if I had any family that I could stay with that night. I said, no, I don't have any family in Chilliwack. I only have 2 other family members. That's my father in Powell River and my grandmother on the island. He asked me if there was anyone we could stay with tonight, and I said no. And he said, okay, well, we'll have to put you in a temporary foster home for the night, and we'll get something set up for a family to you to stay with in the next couple days. At this exact moment, my grandmother walked through the front door. And the officer, looking just as confused as I am, is like, well, I'm sorry, who's this lady? I'm like, that's my grandmother. And he looks at me all confused. He's like, I thought you said your grandmother lived on the island. I'm like, she does. Now, I clearly, like anyone can see, that could be explained by nothing other than an act of God. My grandmother had no way to know what was going on with me. We had no way of contacting her as we didn't have a phone in the house whatsoever. Years later, I asked my grandma, why'd you come over that day? She said, I don't know. I woke up and something just told me, you have to go there, and you have to go there now. To figure out, on a practical level, ferry schedules and driving times, to the exact moment that the officer picks up his phone to call foster care, my grandmother walks through the front door. I lived with my grandmother ever since that day. I was very thankful that I didn't have to be put into a foster care system. Clearly God's provision. Matthew 6:31-34 says, Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all of your needs, according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Our God knows us, and he knows what we need even before we know that we need it, and he provides for us because he loves us, and he cares for us, and he's a good, good Father. My entire life is proof of that. God has provided for me every single day of my entire life. And sometimes I have to look back on those days to see what he had done there, but he's always providing. And if you can't see it, I challenge you to sit down and look for God's provisions. Now, I never asked God for his provision in my childhood. The first serious time I asked for God's help was last spring. I've always had severe asthma, and when I was 10, I had a white blood cell count that my body basically couldn't produce healthy white blood cells, and I was hospitalized for quite a while. My uncle died of a terminal blood disease that started with a white blood cell count. When I was in my 12th year, my red blood cells started failing. My iron dipped so low that I started having fainting spells. I would faint at work. I would faint while I was driving. I would faint when I was home alone. It started getting really scary. So my body basically wouldn't absorb iron properly. My red blood cells couldn't transport oxygen effectively through my body. I was basically a mess. So last spring, I stood right there, and I asked for prayer. Many people in this church laid hands on me and prayed for good health. I remember falling to my knees and crying my eyes out. I stand before you today, having not used a puffer since that week. I stand before you today with a clean bill of health and perfectly clean blood. And I have been sick once for 2 days in the past year and a half. Clearly God's providence. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock on the door and it will be opened to you. Is it not amazing that we have a Father that we can ask for help and he will provide it? All you need to do is ask. Matthew 21:22 says, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. If you trust in God, he will be there. If you have faith in your Father, he will provide for you. I no longer feel that I have to do everything alone. I no longer feel that I am unloved and unworthy of someone's care. And I no longer feel weak for needing community. This summer, I have really focused on bringing my choices to God and asking for direction and asking for comfort and his help in my areas of struggle. I asked God, what do you want me to do with school? What area would you like to see me use my gifts? I'm now enrolled to start a teaching degree on September 9th, something I never thought I would do, ever. After that, I felt my budget get a little tight, living on my own and trying to save up for school. And I asked God, how can I afford this? The next morning, I woke up feeling like I really needed to organize my filing cabinet. Now, that's kind of an unusual feeling for most people. People that know me might understand that a little bit more for me, but still pretty a weird impulse. I found two $1,000 bursaries that I had forgotten that I received. So my schooling was paid for. So now I'm going to school. That's paid for. It's all good. My landlord tells me that I have to move out by October 1st because he needs his house back. So I'm like, okay, this is good. So now I'm stressing out, going, how am I going to afford moving and going to school and all of the other life expenses? As of Tuesday, I was promoted as manager of the Campbell Ridge ENC. I'm the youngest manager in Western Canada and went from earning minimum wage to earning a salary, medical and dental, life insurance, and RRSP contributions. I'm like, okay, I know I'm not that awesome, so clearly that's God's help. Now I'm going to get a little sappy, so bear with me. But something I've always felt absent of, something I've always, always wanted was a family. A true family who loves, lives, and grows together, who's supportive and there for each other. I truly believe that this church was the answer to that prayer. I have never been able to go somewhere and feel completely and wholly loved, safe and at peace until Via. And I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for doing that and not even realizing that. I'm so, so grateful for every one of you. I would also like to praise you in your families and in your relationships. I don't know if you get told enough how beautiful it is how you interact with each other. And parents, if you're not hearing that you're doing an amazing job, you are. You are doing incredible. I would have killed to have parents like any one of you when I was a child. I'd have been so jealous of your kids. I would have wrote that in my little notebook and like, steal this person's parents. Somehow, magicians, make it happen, please. You're doing an amazing job. And it's absolutely inspiring and so touching to see the way that your families interact. And working with your children has honestly blessed me so much to see their love, their innocent, pure, just whole love for Jesus that they can't learn through anyone else but you guys and through him. It just blesses my soul. So not only has my father provided me with a family in this church, but amazing role models and inspirations. I finally have people to look up to and say, I want to be like that. I want those qualities in my life. I want to strive after that goal. And I'm very thankful for that. And to close, I'd like to present you with a challenge. Our Father in heaven is abundant in his provision. And he loves his children. And he takes care of us, even when we're unaware of this. Life can be stressful. Money is stressful. Time management can be stressful. Health, work, children, seasons, transitions, love, loss, it can all be so, so stressful. But peace can always be found with our Father. And it can be easy to get caught up in worldly provision and thinking that you need to provide for yourself and your family and all of those around you. But know that you don't have to. Luke 12:24 says, "Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds?" If God cares and provides for even the birds, can you imagine what he wants to do for his sons and daughters? The great thing about our God is that there's nothing too small or too big for him. So my challenge for you is to write a list of things in your life that are currently stressing you out, that you're unaware of how to deal with, things, troubles, just things that are bothering you. Write them down physically. Write it on a physical list. Mental lists are great, but they don't hold commitment. Write them on a piece of paper. When you're done with your list, I want you to look at every item on that list and ask yourself if you've asked for God's help with it. And if you have, how did you pray about it? Did you pray for strength to solve it, or did you pray for God to make it go away? If you've said no, why haven't you brought it to God? Do you feel that it's your responsibility to deal with? Do you feel silly for asking God's help with these little problems? Look at your answers and see if there's any patterns. Are you typical for asking God's help in a certain way? Should you be asking it differently? What do you really need his help for? When you're done with the list, I challenge you to pray again about those needs. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, "Put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything. And he will again and again and again, time after time." Life is a lot easier when you don't feel like you have to do it on your own. So trust in his provision, for God has never let us down.
Well, I don't know if you guys were touched by the message that Brittany brought today, but I was. And I just said to Brittany, stay here for a minute, because, you know, it's to see God in a life like Brittany, it brings hope to our hearts, but it also stretches us and calls us further to hear your story of provision. And I, as a church, I just seeing you up here today and teaching, I just want to encourage you. This is the beginning of things to come for you, that God has anointed you to teach. But it's not just going to be in primary school. It's not just going to be, in the education system. But I want to encourage you and say publicly today that God has anointed you to set captives free, and that you have a powerful story. But not only do you have a powerful story, he's gifted you in a way, in heart and compassion, to call you deeper. And the Word of God says that it is a narrow road to get into the kingdom of God, that not many people come through. But when you walk through that door, the kingdom of God is the most vast horizon on the face of the earth. So I also just want to speak to the dreaming of your heart, as God the Father has given us plans and a future and a purpose. And as a church, I want to stand with Brittany today. And I want to reach our hands out to her if that's something you're comfortable with. We want to bless you as your family today, how you've shared with us your heart and your story. We want to share back to you a father's blessing and a family blessing that just speaks value to you and speaks to your future and your destiny in God and in the kingdom, because you're going to see people set free and come into new life with your calling. So let's just stretch out a hand and to Brittany today. Lord, we thank you for the call on Brittany's life. God, we thank you that you have been with her, your presence, every waking moment of her life. That your word says you'll never leave us nor forsake us. God, I thank you for the track that Brittany's on, how you're teaching her and growing her and discipling her and fathering her, providing for her. Lord, and I just speak to Brittany's future. God, as she steps into a new season of school, God, that this is just the beginning and it's the next step, God. But I just pray an opening of her heart and an opening of her mind, God, as you begin to reveal to her heart the things that touch your heart. God, as she feels your heart for a people group. God, as she feels your heart for the church, for the broken, the lost, the orphan. God, as you illuminate her heart with compassion and mercy, God, that she would know the way that you've called her to walk in. God, and I thank you for the gift that Brittany is to us. And I thank you for the gift that she will be and is to the lost more and more. We just release that evangelistic gift and heart over her. God, that Brittany would see into situations and people's lives, God, and know that she holds those keys of authority, that love would always lead her in everything she does. God, we just are so blessed. God, and ask, Lord, that she would feel blessed today as our hearts knit with hers as we receive the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite Chad.
It's great to be home. John and I had a good couple of weeks away together and some good time of prayer, and feel refreshed. Feel good to be back and excited about our fall together. I said to Jen on the way over here, she said, are you excited to be back? I said, yeah, I'm even more excited for the next couple of weeks as we kind of all get back. It feels a little bit like the summer's been amazing, but I'm ready to just kind of slide into some rhythm together. It feels like God's got a lot for us this year. And our camp out starting next weekend, and Corpus starting, and a young guy named Toby's going to be joining us in a couple of weeks to intern with us through the year. An incredible young man from Lethbridge, and just God's just doing all kinds of things. When we came to plant the church for the even into when we got here, but certainly for the time right before we got back and as we were going, every time that I would share the heart for the church and for what it was that God was doing, and I would get to this moment where I'd begin to speak about the lost coming to know him, I would do this. There's something of the Spirit that would come on me, and I would begin to cry. And Brittany's one of those people who didn't know Jesus, but because of who you are as a family and what God's doing here and through you has come to know him. And as you can tell, she's gotten to know him pretty good. We talked very early on, and I just feel like I need to add my commendation to what she already has given to you as a church family, to you as men in this church especially. We talked early on, Brittany and I, about the fact that one of the things God was giving her in our community was men she could trust. Men who would model for her something of what it was to be a man of God and to walk in her life. And you've done that well. We've talked about that. And it's quite a gift for her, but it's kind of a gift for us too. How cool is it to be able to stand in those places? I feel like this year as we go, I'll give you a little teaser, but I want to start pulling our guys together. I feel like God's got some things for us this year, for all of us, but especially for us as men. He's going to call us into to stand in together and to grow in together. And I think it's because of the Father's heart. He wants to cultivate it here in our church even more than he already has, so that we can see more and more people like Brittany come into family, where family is ready to receive and ready to be for her what God needs us to be. It's exciting. Excited today, too, to just be able to come to the table together. I miss this place together. It's so awesome to be able to do that together.